And one more announcement.
Yep.
We use such small cups here. Why do we serve coffee in thimbles? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, Sue. Yeah. One more announcement. And thanks for those of you who helped out with the garage sale for the mission trip this summer to Australia. As of this afternoon, that garage sale raised $540, something like that. So it was, thank you for your donations. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your help. It was pretty good. It was really, really cool. Although it was, and especially Robbie was stellar coming by, and Kenny was stellar. Mike came by and brought a bunch of stuff. It was like Locust, wasn't it? It was crazy at our house. It was, yeah, wave after wave. But my Spanish has improved this weekend. It's really helped this weekend. And it's always awkward because most of the people come to that garage, and I have to say, it's not really a garage sale. We call them garage sales. There's no garage. These are yard sales, pure and simple. These are, no garages are open. It's all front yard. And this thing, I have to confess, from an anthropologist's point of view, this thing is a gold mine. It's just, and I love watching the people come in and going, you're Mayan. You're Aztec. Really? Oh, wow. You're probably Inca. It's the nations walking in, the ethnicities walking in up our sidewalk in the most amazing way. And everyone has their own kind of way of doing yard sale etiquette. So you're allowed to mess up quite a bit in the interactions. But this was not American garage sale. This was Central American Market Day. Yeah, it's a big difference. Big difference than we open our garage and we sell a few tools out of it like my grandfather used to do. That was not this was market day. This is families with umbrellas doing the thing. There are people out there in the front yard. One of the guys comes by and goes, "You've got to go down the street there. They're doing chicken," and you know, another lady comes by that we finally met the gal who sells the ice creams, the shave ices that goes around and day after day. So we finally met her. We met most of our neighbors that are about a block away this time. Whereas we've known the immediate ones, but this time we met the extended neighbors, which was a scream. We probably would have paid that money for the joy to meet them. And Wendy's like, "Oh, that one lady just worked me." She's like, "Oh, how much?" $3. Oh. 50 cents. Oh, 50 cents. Oh, $2. 50 cents. Ask the two gals who were there. "Oh, no, we don't have that money." "Yeah, sure you don't have that money, right? Brer Rabbit. Okay, we'll leave and come back." Yeah. Then she goes, "How does she pay?" Oh, she pulls out a wad of cash, like, oh, yeah, you know. Oh, 50 cents. But that's our neighborhood. It's a very fun kind of a context, and it's a different vibe. There's, again, as an anthropologist, there's just fascinating stuff going on because social science has been intrigued by the phenomenon of market day for many decades, and lots of studies. I don't even remember the names of all the studies done on market day all over the world, but some of the, it was really fun to see take place in front of my eyes, because one of the major impacts of globalization has been the destruction of market day practices in multiple cultures and societies. So what has happened is as mechanized trade and commerce has exploded, the phenomenon of market day has dropped out, because instead of everyone coming to the village or local town from the surrounding agricultural areas, whatever, urban centers have captured commerce in a static way that makes the commerce available at all times. So one of the big things that's happened, by the way, in case you didn't notice it in your lifetime, I'm sure you didn't go, something has changed in the world, although something did. In your lifetimes, the world has gone, for the very first time in all of human history, the majority of humans live in cities. It used to be that cities were a minority, that most of the people lived in the country and a significant portion lived in the cities, and that has been steadily rising. And it was about, if I'm not mistaken, it was about 12, 14 years ago, it finally crossed the horizon to where more people live in cities than live in the country. First time in human history, because humans always needed to stay before out where food could be produced. And then when you had excess, you took it to the city to trade. That's typical. No, Naomi's saying, I've heard this lecture. I've heard this lecture. I have notes on this lecture. Right? But the rest of you haven't heard the lecture, so I'm giving it to you now. Yeah, you. Thank you. It's fun. But as market days have dropped off, anthropologists have been in the middle of it, kind of studying the phenomenon. And one of the things that social science has found is that when market day stops, the society collapses and turns into chaos. And we would think that that wouldn't happen. We would think that the constant availability of goods would be an advantage to society. This is one of the illusions of, quote, development, end quote. Development is a creepy term anyway. By the way, you understand that the idea of developed and non-developed nations assumes that societies are supposed to grow up someday and be like us? That's creepy. That's like saying a chihuahua is an underdeveloped pit bull. Okay? Remember the first time you had to learn that a pony was not just a young horse? Yeah. So developed nations, translated like we, and undeveloped nations, translated like, oh, those primitives. Bad idea. Throw that idea away. So one of the illusions of development is that it's always better to have commerce and commercial centers where goods can be available all the time more cheaply. But what social sciences have found out is then when that comes, the society breaks down around that. Because people stop going to market day. Usually, for hundreds of generations, for thousands of years, people have made the trek on Saturday to come together and do market day. And market day is all day long, usually. Sometimes, frequently, it's 2, 3, 4 days, you know. And they come, and that's a time to interact. Because you're not just buying stuff. You're there to bring what you have into dynamic engagement with what other people have. See? And so there's this trading. Maybe you set up your little spot, and they have their little spot. And at one point in it, you stop manning your spot, and you go to their spots. Maybe part of your family mans your spot. And people go and, okay, what's the routine, of course? You know, how much for this? And you say, this much. And I say, oh, 50 cents, right? I say, 50 cents. And what's she supposed to do? Before that, though, You have to be shocked and insulted. 50 cents? Oh, no, 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 right? And then I say, well, maybe 75 cents. And you say, oh, no less than. And we do this dance. Because what we are playing with in this interchange is our mutual acknowledgement that what we have to offer to each other is valuable. And negotiating this dynamic interdependence. I have something that you want. What do I have at this point? Cash. And you have something that I want, which is little tiki lamps or whatever it might be, right? Chinese dragon, which was very hard to get to the market because, you know, I've never seen Chinese dragon. They hurry all the time where they go. Wow. 50 cents. Yeah. So we're negotiating our interdependence. You just got it, right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Ground beef. Cut off their legs. Dragon meat. You can then have dragon meat. But ground beef. Have you ever thought of what hamburger really is, and you're saying that that's gross? Okay. So anyway, we're negotiating this interdependence that we have in which both of us are working at each exchange affirming that there is something of value that the other one has to offer. One study, I forget who did it, I'd have to go through mounds of papers to find precisely who did it again. I remember being shocked when I read this study that was following market day practices, and they kind of played the field, which in some ways is not ethical as an anthropologist, in some ways is. But they tested. So they had a buyer go to market day, and we'll say that, what do you have to offer? Please change the subject from Chinese dragons, okay, and ground beef. What do you have to offer?
Diamonds.
Good. So he has diamonds. And I say, oh, very nice diamonds. How much for this diamond? 10,000 rubles. Which is not a good investment these days. Okay. So 10,000 rubles. Okay, very good. Now I take out my 10,000 rubles, and I give you 10,000 rubles, and I say, thank you for my diamond. Appreciate that. Stay away from Putin. Okay? And I'm putting the diamond in my pocket and dragging it down to China, where I will serve it on China with Greece. Anyway, because of the turkey. So they did these studies. Boy, we are off track, aren't we? He's the one who brought it up, not me. I was asking for a good illustration. He gave me diamonds and 10,000 rubles, okay? You can't expect me to be calm with that. So, study found that when he offers me a price in market day practices and I pay that price off the top and take the product away, you know what the overall consensus reaction was, the majority reaction? Because then they would go back, they would have somebody lowball and walk away, then they have somebody midball and walk away, you know, so that some people would engage in the practice, some people would refuse the practice, some people would just cave at the first offer. You know, they found that the reaction was when someone paid right up front the first asking price? What would you guess? You're an idiot, yes. Disdain for one, contempt and disdain.
Raise the price?
They felt insulted. The most overwhelming the number one overwhelming reaction when I ask you the price, you give me your first price, I pay that price, take the item and walk away, the number one reaction was that they felt dishonored and insulted. The seller felt dishonored and insulted. He had an exorbitant amount of money compared to what he was expecting to get. The person complied with the very first price, and overwhelmingly, the sellers were insulted. It wasn't just one seller, it was multiple sellers they did this with. And not only were they insulted, so they felt like they had been treated with contempt, they also felt toward the buyer contempt and disdain. The seller believes that the buyer is an idiot and is also very rude and insulting. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see like death match between her and 50 Cent, right? 50 Cent later, be death match. And now in this corner, Gloria. Yeah, walk away, come back. Yeah, act like you're going to walk away, walk partly away, come back, act like you were interested in something else. You never look at the thing that you're really going to bargain for, all that stuff, right? Yeah, because you're thinking, oh, that's horrific. How dare you be so rude? And she, when she sees you pay the first price, she's like, no, that's so rude. You can't do that. You can't pay them 10 times what they were expecting. That's so rude to a business person. Why? Because you're not being social. Because you treated the person as a source of an object. You see? Because it's not about the commerce. You treated that merchant as though the only value that for that merchant in your world is to supply you with an object. And that you wouldn't deign to have a conversation with the person. You'd rather just pay them money. Now you see from their perspective? Like, how dare you just buy my object and not treat me as a person who is a merchant and a sparring partner? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're conditioned to pay the price marked and treat the cashier at... Imagine if you did that at Walmart. You know? Like, he walked up and he said... and they said... that's $123.72. And you said, 50 cents, right? 50 cents. Okay. Now, in my neighborhood, the person behind the cash register would probably be stoked. And of course, nobody has the authority to do that except the assistant manager or manager or whoever that might be. But they would be stoked. Because when you do that, what does it say? It says, I know you are here, and you have some power. And I want to acknowledge that you are here and have power. And let's mutually negotiate the power that we have between us over these items. Not just treat you like a vending machine. That push, pull, click, click, pay the price. That you're only a source of information about the price of the item, which is insulting. There's a proverb in the Bible that says, it is nothing, says the buyer. And when he goes his way, he boasts. Right? It is nothing, says the buyer. And when he goes his way, he boasts. Imagine, anybody here fish? You like to fish? Good. What's the best fishing run you've ever been in? Yeah, like in the middle of a run where you're catching wildly. Yellowtail? How are you catching them? how good was the fishing?
Every cast.
Yeah. How long did that go?
All day.
Okay. Awesome. And when you caught those fish, what'd you do with them? All of them. Then what'd you do? You just quit? Now, let's explore this behavior. You catch 20 of them in 20 casts. Good? In theory, basically, which takes about, what, half an hour? Which were, okay, so you got 20, 30. How long did it take you to get those?
About 5 hours.
Good. So he's got his limit in his gunny sack. Then, of course, he goes down to the galley and says, I caught them all. Is that what he did? Then it was catch and why? So why catch any if you're at your limit? It's called a limit for a reason. Because he's a fisherman. I'm going to fish all day. Never mind that there's a limit. Let's say I got a full day's fishing in a couple of hours. Now it's sodas and watch the game, you know? You can give them away. That haven't caught. Did you? How many? How many did you release? Okay, which is half the limit again. And those 8 or 10 are going, it's a good day, man. It's a good day. I feel like I've been to the dump, you know? See, it's not about just, how much did you pay for that trip?
$130.
Okay. 20 fish, 20 pounds each, 400 pounds raw, okay, but dressed out probably in fillets, maybe 130 pounds, right? So $130, 130 pounds, buck a pound. How much for your fishing gear? Yeah, when you do the math, how much that fish cost compared when you average in all of the fishing trips? How much are you paying per pound for fish at that point? Everybody say, this many dollars, 50 cents, right? This many dollars. See, it's not about getting the fish. You want the fish? You just go down to Santa Monica Seafood, order the fish. It's always going to be cheaper than what it costs you to go catch them. In gear, time, effort. You factor your time at $10 an hour, minimum. All day, 2 days. It was about the process. And exchanging activity with these fish. That's what sociologists and anthropologists have found out about Market Day. It's about the engagement of it, not about the commerce. What they found is that when commerce was available at all times, people ended up going to the store by themselves, getting their goods, and leaving by themselves. And they did not meet or talk to other people. See, Market Day, everyone's there. And everyone's interacting with everyone, telling everyone how interdependent everyone is with everyone. Got it? We're sitting there. Met one of our neighbors who's down at the end of the block now. You know, Senor Gomez. Starts talking. And then how much for this? How much for that? Bought a couple of things. Then how much for that? And told him a price. He's like, oh, it got cheaper. I said, yeah, the more you buy, the cheaper it gets. It's like, I like you. Next thing we know, Senor Gomez is sitting on the porch with us, right? We're talking. Then he disappears, takes some of the stuff home. He comes back. Then he comes back with an armful of sodas. It's like, this is for you. This is for your wife. This is for your daughter. Proceeds to tell us what a great deal he got on these at the Big Save store. And then we sit on the porch. And then he's telling everybody who comes in, you know, hey, you got to buy from these people. The more you buy, the cheaper it gets. Next thing I know, he's telling people, yeah, you buy one, you get one free. I'm like, And they're laughing. It's like, you know. Pretty soon people are buying all kinds of stuff. It was great. You know, Senor Gomez, then he goes, you know, how much for the grill? I'm like, take it. You're a friend now. He's like, oh, my friend. You know. Off he goes. 50 cents, you know. Because it's about, but through him, we at that point probably met a half dozen of our local neighbors because they all knew each other already. They all do market day. It's kind of fun. Now, some of them on market day are resellers. You can tell them they're pros. They come in, they buy all the clothes at a set price and they're kind of with the wad of stuff. And then you see them down at their spot. And they run these, their yard sales, as though they were little markets. They have these stacks of blue jeans and then stacks of T-shirts, all the same color, all the same type. And they're really running stores. You know what's interesting? No one stops by their places. I was watching. I was keeping an eye on some of them. And they'd turn on the music really, really loud. You haven't heard loud music till you've been to our neighborhood. You ever want to stop by? Every 3 months, Santa Ana by the water tower. Just start wandering. You'll see the market, right? It's everybody. But nobody would stop at those. And they're trying desperately to retail stuff, to resell it. But nobody wants that stuff. If they want that stuff, they'll go to Walmart. Because Walmart is the big institution with all the stuff. And if you want just the stuff, go to Walmart. If you just want the objects. If you don't care about the relationship, just get the goodies at Walmart. It's always going to be cheaper. And one time, you know, Mike was, we were standing there and we have to be careful when anyone says, you know, ¿cuánto? Because I'll yell one price, Wendy will yell another price, Robbie will yell another price. We have to look at each other and kind of coordinate. And so the things that I would put as 20 bucks, she says 75 cents. Yeah. Things I would put as a buck, she says $20. We kind of work it. Different values. And Mike's like, well, you're selling some of this stuff kind of cheap. And I'm thinking, well, you know, our competitor is 99-cent store one block away. Have you seen what dishes go for at 99-cent store? How much do you think they go for at 99-cent store? 99 cents. Yeah. Right? And that penny makes a difference. You know, there was one other factor that really mattered. Who are we in our neighborhood? We're the güeros. Yeah, that's it. That's what Gomez said. He goes, oh, yeah, you guys are the güeros. I'm like, I know it. White boy.
I have a great joke.
Okay. I'm scared.
So Mark and I were on the freeway, and we saw this truck that said 99 cents only. I said, hey, Mark, that truck is 99 cents only.
Cheap truck. Remind me to discourage you from ever becoming a lawyer. Okay. Yeah. So people wanted to come into our front yard. People wanted to come into our front yard. And what else did they want? They wanted to see what stuff we had. Because when they see what stuff you have, they can make inferences about you. And they wanted to come at an angle that could look in our open front door. Because when you do those sales, you can't ever leave your door closed. I don't know why it is, but you close your front door. Even if your gate's open, no one will come in. So there's this peekaboo effect where everyone gets to see everyone else's life by seeing what they sell. You know, do you know the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man who lives down Drury Lane, or whatever it is. Who is he? He's the Muffin Man, and that's who you know him to be by what he sells. And everybody wanted to know who the güeros are. And what did they do? Because we've been the mystery people on our. If you have a Bible, please turn to John 15. John 15. We've been covering metaphors of the church for a while. Last week we talked all about the body. This week I want to talk about market day. Has anybody ever noticed, by the way, what's that big thing that they have at the fairgrounds? It's the... Think about that. What's the name swap meet mean? You meet to... When's the last time you swapped something at the swap meet? When's the last time you went to the meet to swap something with someone there? The 70s. Is it a swap meet anymore? Now it's the marketplace. Now it's the marketplace. How do you feel about the swap meet now? It's the mobile mall. Are those people selling their goods? They're selling product. They're all retailers.
Yeah, they are. We bought our bunk bed from there. People, that's the only place they do business. They've been doing it for 20 years.
And they're retailers.
Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, they're retailers. But they don't swap.
Nope.
Nope. No? Yeah. They swap it for money. Yeah. I came in with 4 chickens. I didn't leave with anything. I don't know what happened. I even brought a Chinese dragon. Somebody tried to buy it from me for 50 cents. John chapter 15. Jesus speaking, he says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. I like it when Jesus talks, you know, like kindergarten talk. Go, me vine. Me vine, you branches. Me vine, you branches. Branches bear fruit, good. Fruit. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. No in vine, no fruit. Right? Very, very simple. I like this. Because his parables are intentionally complex and deceiving. He says so. So it's nice when Jesus talks in metaphors. They're a little bit easier. Because he talks baby talk to us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withered. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And what is this all about? It's about producing fruit. Good? Fruit. Product. Fruit. Good, ripe, thick fruit. But it's not just about the fruit. It's about abiding. See, the product without the engagement is worth nothing to Jesus. It's not just, yeah, we'll make a big fruit machine. Well, have you driven the 99 or the 5 or the 101? 101, that's the big one. The 101 between here and San Francisco. Have you driven that recently? The vineyards. Holy cow, the vineyards, these mass-produced vineyards. It's crazy. And The idea of mechanized vineyards, what does that do to your wine palate? I don't want that. I want people stomping with their feet, even though it's gross. I want a little boutique vineyard. I want to go interact with the people. You know? And then there's Gallo. Ah, you know, Walmart, Gallo, $2 Chuck. Ding, 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 ding. Like, that's not cool. I want not just the product, but the engagement. Jesus says, this fruit is about the engagement. It says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, bear the fruit by being abiding in me, engaged in me. That's where the vitality is. That's where the dynamism, that's where the fun of the whole thing is. It's funny, nobody asked us yesterday, so how's the sale going? But easily a dozen people asked us today at the end. So how did the sale go? We said it was fun. It was worth the price just to meet the neighbors. And they laughed. Didn't buy anything and left. But they wanted to find out how that sale went for us. Not yesterday, today. We wanted to know how we were engaging with the neighborhood. What's the engagement that's going on here? How's that working for you guys? Because it wasn't, nobody asked, did you sell a lot? Nobody asked, did you make a lot of money? Did you sell a lot of things? No. They were all watching anyway. Okay. They said, how did the selling go? Totally different than did you move a lot of product. Imagine what would happen to market day if everyone in the neighborhood was a reseller or a retailer. Where everyone's, you know, just buying. I go down there and I buy the shoes from my other neighbor and then I just make my little shoe store here. Or, yeah, I got a friend who gets these cheap because he works at Walmart. And so I put out my Levi's. What would happen if everyone decided to be retailers in market day? No demand. It would die. As soon as it becomes all about the product, it all dies. As soon as it's just a matter of moving the stuff, or if you took away the stuff. What if market day was everybody just walks out in their front yards? Yeah, we all just set up front yards. Well, that's no fun. You got to have this thing going on. It's kind of to the side. But I thought it was fun. In looking for stuff to sell at the garage sale, I found I'm going to have to pull out the other way. This is in our garage. All right. This is nasty, huh? What's this? Yeah, Christmas tree. Isn't it pretty? It's nice. It's okay. Oh, it's real. $0.50. Look at this. See the back? Okay. Where are the branches attached? To themselves. That's why this is dead. Got it? This is like this because this is like this. If the branches are all attached to each other and there's no vine, there's no point. There's no vitality. There's no dynamism. They just go round and round and round on each other. Just retail, reselling, empty, death. Church makes a couple of big mistakes by not grasping Jesus' metaphor. The church is supposed to be a dynamic living relationship that, yes, produces fruit in the world. No fruit, no point. Okay? It is market day. There's supposed to be commerce taking place. There's supposed to be goods and services and mutual independence. And some people have this to offer and other people have that to offer. And we offer things to the world and we try to invite the world to us. It's both centripetal and centrifugal. Okay? And we're supposed to bear something for the Lord. But we get messed up in that we start to either think that it's all about the product, about what we offer. We got something great for you to offer for you. And we can produce experiences like nobody else. We got laser lights and smoke bombs and impeccable music. We can produce experiences, which just adds to the idolatry of experience that our society is already devoted to. You know, we can produce experiences for you, religious experiences, it's great. Or we can produce stuff to give the world, quote, care, end quote. We can do that. But that's not what it's about. It's about engagement. Engagement. So we either make the misstep of focusing only on the fruit, or we make the misstep of getting all about engagement. And we think that somehow we're just engaged to each other. As long as we're engaged, we have enough community. We're engaged. We're really engaged. Isn't it great to be engaged, you know? Actually, it's better to be married. But, right? Okay? We're all about engagement. Yeah! To whom? We engage to ourselves. And we're busy trying to produce fruit by being engaged to each other. If we engage to each other, we'll produce fruit. No! There is a direction for the engagement, and the engagement is to be with Jesus. And we rationalize, don't we? Well, if I'm engaged with you, since Jesus is in you and Jesus is in me, I'm engaged to Jesus. Come on, get honest with yourself. It's not engagement to Jesus. So either we cut off from church and cut off from Jesus, or we get too much about fruit or too much about engagement. Jesus says, look, abide in me, I with you, and then bear fruit. Don't seek to bear fruit by yourself. This is not going to happen. Don't just focus in on fruit, focus in on engagement. Abide in me and I in you, then bring forth fruit. That's what's going to do it. It's not just being engaged with each other. That's a false path. So how do you stay engaged with Jesus dynamically in a way that makes market day happen? Easy. Do with Jesus what you do with everybody else. Litmus test question. When's the last time you just told God about your day? Amusement. Lord, I just want to tell you how my experience of my day was today. You know, Lord, this was such a hard day today. I couldn't believe it. Oh, my gosh. And did you see that person? That brother in humanity on the freeway? Lord, I've had such a hard day with my boss. Lord, I'm just discouraged about the politics. It's driving me bonkers. By the way, great job with the sunrise today. I know you spent a lot of time on it and nobody bothers to notice, but I think that was epic, especially what you did over on the left side. Well, at least from here, not from Catalina. Or is it, dear Lord, my laundry list is, may I get, I have my market day shopping. Imagine if everything you asked the Lord gave it to you at the first price. Lord, I want a Bentley. Lord, I want a beagle. Lord, I want a house. I'm sorry. I'm thinking, Lord, I want my hair back. Right? And just went on and on and on. Eventually, maybe you'd get your limit and say, yeah, but I can ask for some things and give them to other people. And then maybe I just start asking for things just to ask for them. Because it's like catch and release. Yeah. Hopefully, at some point, we would say, Lord, by the way, I don't just want the junk. I would like to spend some time with you. When's the last time you just related with the Lord? It's like, abide in me, and I in you. You talk to your friends about how your day is going. Talk to me about how your day is going. Maybe sometime it's not just, you know, you and the gospel according to St. Walmart. Sorry. That's how I see it. Welcome to Our Lady of Target. Sorry. When do... Okay. I don't know the experience of ladies. I can make surmissions. I've only tried the experience of ladies very infrequently on weekends. But I can speak for how men... I'm joking. Thank you for noticing. I was checking to see if you were listening. Okay? I can't speak for ladies. Guys, how do we relate? When do we abide in our friendships? What's the thing that draws men together? Yeah. Cars. Activities. Beer. Beer. But it's no good at just breaking beer open and drinking it. The beer is best when one of you has made it a car. You're a dangerous person. No. Yeah, a car to work on. Good, thank you. I'm like, no, beer! Hey! It's a fast car. It's better when there's beer. Are there firearms involved? Hey! You know? Anybody got a lighter? Watch this! Okay, now you're dead. Okay, so, but yeah, guys, if there's a project involved, right? If there's a project involved, we're into it. And something flammable. Okay? That's... Guys don't normally relate by, like, how are we doing? Let's talk about our friendship. How deep is our friendship? You know, I really enjoy our friendship.
I've been so upset.
Really? I've been disappointed, too. Yeah.
No.
Bronson's going, nah, man, no. Hey! Right? When's the last time you did a project with Jesus? Just you and Jesus. Just went, you know, I want to do a project with you. Let's work together on something. What do you want to do? Or that, oh, I'm going to go do something and I'll bring it back to you, Lord. You can just sign off on it. Or, I was just waiting for you to pay me. Do something with the Lord. Spend some time with the Lord. Interact with the Lord. Work together on something. It's amazing how the ladies have responded to hanging out and doing crafts. Like, if Wendy just says craft night, there are ladies all over that thing at the going, that's cool. You know, guys, we have to have danger night, flammable things night. What do you do with your friends? You listen to them sometimes, not just talk. And you're not just asking them, what do you think about this? Please tell me. Tell me, tell me. Talk to me about me. But enough of us talking about me. What do you think about me? My life and me. Let's talk about me. Me. What do you have to give me? What advice can you give me that will make me successful? Have you heard about my family lately? When's the last time you said, Lord, you got anything on your heart? How'd the world treat you today? How'd the world treat you today? Did more people thank you than brushed you off and ignored you today? What's your favorite color? I don't know. Just thought I'd ask. What century was the best one? Beatles or Rolling Stones? I know. Well, you don't mind. Or do you even care? When was the last time you just listened? Said, Lord, tell me your heart. It matters to me that someone listens to you, about you and your universe. Probably the last bit of advice is go places together. You want to abide in relationship with someone, go places together. Let's go to the park, Lord. I know you're everywhere, but it's pretty obvious that you're, like, especially everywhere, certain everywheres. You know, there's, like, that Jerusalem everywhere that's really important, and that Jesus guy that you very, very invested in. You know, like, you were more there than other places, and you're there more in the bread and in the wine, and you're there more when the body of Christ is gathered. You're although you're everywhere, you're really there some theirs. So let's go to a there that you are really there. Or even just come with me. Let's go to one of my favorite places. You want to go there together? Last time you went to Key and coffee with the Lord, not with someone else. Last time you went to the beach with the Lord, not someone else. Do what you'd do to someone else. Have a market day. The church on Sundays is market day. We all draw from the private parts of our lives with the Lord. We all come together. We have this celebration that we do normally. By the way, Facebook, Merlot, and Pandora is not church. I can get the product. You didn't get market day. Yeah, but I've got my relating, and I've got my entertainment, and I've got bread and wine, a little cheese, too. A little better in church, and larger portions. Sorry. Church is more like a tasting church. Do with Jesus what you do with your social circle, and you will abide in him. And no, by the way, it kills friendships if you join them and leave them, and join them and leave them, and join them and leave them, and join them, and ignore them for a long time and come back and expect it to be the same. Don't do that with Jesus. You'll kill the relationship. You only graft a vine or a branch back into the vine so many times until it just doesn't do it anymore. Ask anyone who's broken their leg too many times. Don't try that. Just stay, abide, and do with Jesus what you do with everyone else. And your walk with the Lord will flourish. And you will have fun, and we will have market day together, and it'll be a blast. And maybe someday we'll bring balloons or, you know, ice cream or sodas. We'll sit on the front porch. We'll have fun. Would you like to do that together? Let's do that together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your church and your market day. Thank you for being the vine and making us fruitful. Hope your day went well today, Lord. Hope you enjoyed the praises from your people all over the world. We look forward to spending Holy Week with you. Thank you for being here with us in Lent. I hope you're pleased with what we have to offer you. We want to stay close and connected with you in communication. Can't wait to celebrate you at Easter, Lord, at Palm Sunday, as we move at the Balearic Center. We want to spend more time with you. You know our hearts, Lord. You know we love you. in your name, to your glory. Amen. Please stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine on you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord meet you. May the Lord keep you abiding in him. May he draw you close, smile upon you, communicate with you, shepherd you, and make you fruitful. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Go in grace.